Oops.
Rabbi Emmanuel Gomez.
Hey, did he finally show up? Man, I've been looking for that guy everywhere. I thought I was going to have to fill in for him today.
Who is that guy? That crazy guy?
Wait. I was wrong. Nobody could fill in for Rabbi Emmanuel Gomez. Nobody. I hear Chrissy laughing in the background. Yeah, nobody could fill in or fill the shoes of this man at all. There's no way on the planet. Hey, brother, I ran onto a picture of you and me at the Revive conference yesterday, kicking back in the chairs after, you know, in the evening, right before we kicked back with Jimmy Black and several other people. Just you. We got a picture of just you and me. I have to send it to you.
Please do. Please do. Mark's the better looking one, by the way.
So. Well, I'll go with that. But okay. All right, brother. It's your time. Here's your 50 minutes of fame, my friend. It's all yours.
Amen. And be sure and remember at 8 o'clock, Mark's teaching tonight.
Oh, whatever. Before you start, brother, let me just say something real quick. If you're sitting in your home or in your car driving down the road, you already have done this. But if you're at your home, if there's any way you can go get a belt and strap yourself in some way to wherever you're sitting, you need to do this because you are going to be flying out of your seat several times. And I don't want anybody hurt while they're listening to the rabbi. And so if you can strap yourself to your office chair or your divan or wherever you're at, you need to do this some way. Or get somebody to sit with you that can help hold you down because, man.
I've got a parachute.
Parachute. There you go. You got it.
We have a padded room, so we're
all
set.
There we go. That's it. That's what we do. Rabbi, it's yours.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for letting me be a part of this. Sorry. I just like, you know, Mark gave the disclaimer. Definitely want to give a real quick disclaimer that I am a very blunt teacher. I may come off very stern, but I am actually a big teddy bear too at the same time. So I want to start off real quick with a small canting to honor the teaching that we're doing, to honor our Messiah. Baruch ata Yahweh, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher natan lanu et erecha Yeshua, b'mashiach Yeshua, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua, amen. Amen. And with that, I want to also real quickly start off with this. I want you to remember this, listeners, as you listen to the teaching. And I'm going to say it in Hebrew, and then I will mention it to you in English, which is Vaydebar Elohim et kol hadvarim ha'ele lemor. And Elohim, or God, spoke all these words, saying, Anochi Yahweh Elohecha Hasher, lotzi tichma eretz mitzrayim me beit avadim. I am Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt, or I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. I don't get into a fuss about the name game, blame, all that kind of stuff. Our brother before us, hallelujah, he had many great points that I couldn't help but cheer on and say hallelujah, because he is of like mind too. I agree with him. So with that, you know, I want to start off saying I've been in this walk most of my life, believe it or not. I'm not going to get into my whole story. You know, you can tune in Monday nights for that. But there is a problem that I have noticed in the Messianic walk, whatever you want to call it, Messianic, Hebrew roots, Torah observant, whatever you want to call it, okay? You know, the original faith of the believers, okay? You can call it that if you want. But the point is this, is that I find such wonderful people, okay? I find such wonderful people, and they are so sincere, and they come up to me and they say, oh, Rabbi, you know, if I could just prove that I'm Jewish. And believe now, there's nothing wrong with being Jewish. Hallelujah, Baruch Hashem, yeah. But I just, you know, if I could just prove that I'm of one of the tribes. Well, hallelujah, Baruch Hashem, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that either. But there has been an identity crisis Again, I've warned you as a disclaimer, I'm going to tell it like it is, and some people don't like that. But as a roe, as a shepherd, minister of Yah's word, I have to be honest because it falls back on me. You have many groups out there teaching, you know, that we're real Israel. If you know, and I have to, I'm not going to name groups by name. You know, I'm not going to do that. But well, maybe one. There's one that's a certain cult-like group. But you know, there's you know, well, we're the real Israelites. Well, you're not the real Israelites. Well, you're a Gentile. You're a you know, I cringe every time I hear the word Messianic Gentile. It's like saying I eat kosher ham. Okay. And I like to add humor, by the way. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. So please reserve your tomatoes till the end to throw at me. But I cringe every time I hear, you know, about I'm a Messianic Gentile. And I'm going to share with you why, okay, in a little bit here. But the point is that I see all these groups, oh, we're the real Israelites, and, you know, because of the bloodline, not the bloodline, dot, dot, dot. You know, there's some groups out there that say that this certain ethnicity is the real Israelites. That there's one group called the Hebrew Israelites. That's the only one I will call out because they're a very dangerous group. I'm sorry, but I have to be honest. I've dealt with them many a times in our neighborhood where they come out in Power Ranger costumes and spew hatred all over and say that only certain ethnicities are the real Israelites. And, beloveds, this is the work of HaSatan. As you know, I'm a gold medal martial artist, and I teach combat arts too on the side, okay? No mysticism, none of that. And in war, you have to know your enemy. Well, you have to know how the enemy operates. And so this is where I get stern, because the passion I have for our Heavenly Father, the passion I have for Yeshua, who has redeemed me, hallelujah, Baruch Hashem Yah, and the passion for our brothers and sisters that I meet. There's times I've been asked to speak at conferences. Other times, you know, I've shared at congregations. And I always run into these beautiful, wonderful people. And they say, but if I could just prove that I'm an Israelite. Well, you are. And some of you may know this, fine. But I want to go a little deep today, okay? I want to share what the Father put on my heart for this, okay? Because your identity is in Yeshua. I'm going to repeat this. That's why I read, you know, I am Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. Yeshua says, I and the Father are one. Your identity is found in Yeshua HaMashiach, whether you are a Jew or you were once a Gentile. Notice I'm saying once a Gentile, okay? Your identity ultimately is in Yeshua. Okay, why? Well, Yeshua was a Jew, is he not? Amen? Of the tribe of Judah, Yehuda? Of course. Did he just die only for Jews? Well, no. Of course, Judah is included in that, of course. Okay, but I get so tired of this division, and I meet so many sincere people. Even at, I'm going to share a little bit in a few minutes about a dear, lovely woman I met at Revive, this last Revive conference, who just touched my heart. And she was a sweet older woman. Of course, I was brought up, you know, respect and love your elders. So, you know, I definitely wanted to give her a big hug to comfort her. And my wife, you know, was right next to me. I'm going to share that in a few minutes too. But, okay, I'm going to share this with you. Okay, so we know, those of you that know the teaching of the two houses, I love the two house teaching. When it's taught in context, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not saying people are wrong, but I'm trying to revisit the two houses, which ultimately are one. I'm not saying one house messianics, listen to what I'm saying, is the two houses are ultimately one house under Messiah, under Mashiach. So if you know this teaching of the two houses, then let me begin with Genesis Bereshit 48:19, where he says, but his father said, I know, my son, I know he also will become a people and will also be great. However, his younger brother shall be greater than he. This is speaking of Ephraim. And his descendants shall become Melo Hagoyim. Melo Hagoyim means full multitude of the nations or fullness of the Gentiles or, the fullness of Gentiles or multitude of nations. You can translate it like that from the Hebrew, okay? Genesis, but not only that, but all of Israel was destined, okay, that was destined to be all over the earth. Genesis Bereshit 28:14. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. So true Israel, as we know, is made up of the bloodline, and it is made up of those who are grafted in. And that word grafted in is merely a farming term that Rav Shaul or Shaul HaShaliach, however you want to refer to Paul, uses to get the point about adoption. I'm going to talk about adoption here in a few minutes and how beautiful adoption is. Okay? So, again, in Romans 11:25, the word says, For I do not want you, brethren, to be ignorant or uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the mellow Hagoyim. Did you catch that? That goes back to Genesis. Everything you find in the beginning is in the end. Everything in the end is the beginning. I kind of sound like Bob Marley there. As it was in the beginning, man, so it will be in the end. Well, there's truth to that, okay? Everything in the word you find is in the beginning, you'll find it in the middle and the end. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, I'm not saying the Gentiles are just limited to Ephraim, but you know that through the prophecy, Ephraim became many of the multitudes of Gentiles. They became Gentiles, okay? But there are those that may not be of the bloodline. Hallelujah. I'm here to encourage you today. If you're not of the bloodline, or you don't know if you're of the bloodline, stay with me, because I'm here to encourage you, and I pray that this message will bless you and that it will finally put a peace in your heart that you can walk in confidence and knowing the most important part of your identity, and I'm going to repeat this over and over, is in Yeshua HaMashiach. There may be some new listeners. You may know him still as Jesus the Christ, okay? But some of us prefer to use the Hebrew name Yeshua HaMashiach. But you see this happening. Christianity, and I'm not bashing, disclaimer, I'm not bashing our Christian brothers and sisters, puts up the wall thinking that, you know, they're Gentiles in Yeshua and that they can live a Gentile lifestyle. On the other hand, you have certain groups, and within the Messianics that are, you know, I believe our brother mentioned it earlier, that will put that wall of partition up that Yeshua came to destroy. Even Judaism, as much as, you know, I've known both of these worlds, I've known both, okay? But even then, you have these teachings called the Benign Noahide Laws. I'm sorry, forgive me, with all due respect, but I have to agree to disagree with that. That teaches, all the Gentiles to do is honor one or two mitzvot, or the seven mitzvot, that are not even, you know, they're from Scripture, but they're not actually the Ten Commandments, and you have a place in the world to come. I'm sorry. But to be honest, you have to know that that causes a little bit more division. Again, I mean no disrespect when I say this. I'm not saying that is a put down. But again, I see it happening in the Messianic, whatever you want to call yourself, Messianic Hebrew roots. And Paul in Ephesians 2 understood what the Torah spoke about concerning adoption matters. But not only that, but if you study, and I encourage you, beloveds, do a study in the ancient Near Eastern customs and covenants of adoption. Okay? You need to do a study of the ancient Near Eastern covenants of adoption, because they actually play a role with the scripture that you read in. They actually give you a historical understanding of the Hebrew roots, or, you know, the Semitic roots of the faith. Okay? Even Judaism, beloveds, did you know, those of you that may not know, even Judaism teaches that when a person converts, if a Gentile converts to Judaism, you are forbidden to remind them that they were ever a Gentile. No joke. That is what Judaism even teaches. Okay? So something, you know, that I think that many people, on the other hand, get all excited, that know their identity. Well, I'm Israel. Well, that's great. Yes, you are Israel. We've established that. But what I fail to hear, and again, please don't misunderstand, what I fail to hear is that the most important thing that you should be worried about is, are you grafted into Yeshua first? That is the most important. Hallelujah, Baruch Hashem, yeah. We have to be grafted into Yeshua first, whether you are of the native-born line, of the bloodline, or whether you are grafted in or adopted in. Okay, that is the most important. And I don't hear that too often. And I'm not. That's not a put-down, believe me. I'm not saying it's a put-down. I'm just sharing truth, okay? But the most important is our identity in Yeshua. Okay, and I hear so many people, and yes, hallelujah, you're Israel, but how about, hey, I'm Israel, or I'm a Hebrew through Yeshua HaMashiach who saved me. See, that's revisiting the two houses in context, beloveds. I have the three C's, context, content, and contextual history. Every Monday night, I talk about that, or most Monday nights, okay? Romans 11, the native-born and the grafted in or are adopted in. There is a thematic connection there or a picture to this in Exodus. Just go back to the Exodus or the wilderness experience. You know, people in Christianity, and again, this is not speaking against our brothers and sisters, but it's taught that the wilderness experience is something that is a negative, when in fact it is a positive. I just got done doing a teaching on this about the importance of Torah for our Simchat Torah teaching, okay? But you see this in the wilderness. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says that Israel would be one day scattered to the four corners of the earth, and that they would forget his commands, and that he would come back, and that he would circumcise their hearts and the hearts of their descendants, which means this is something that was going to happen then and in the future. Which is why Romans 2, it says a Jew, or let's use the word Israelite, is one who is one inwardly, and circumcision begins in the heart first. Again, I'm going to say something that may step on some toes. I mean no disrespect, but you can keep Torah all you want, but if you're not grounded in the root, and who's the root? Yeshua, then does all those works really matter? Again, wow, you're going to say, what kind of rabbi is this? Well, you know, talk to me later, email me, just don't send me any ugly letters, or my friends who are preachers, don't shout me down, okay? But again, Romans 11 is a picture or a slight picture of the Exodus. Why? Because in the Exodus, there was a mixed multitude, okay? There was an erev rav in the mixed multitude, and if you study, again, I love history. I love biblical history and archaeology that goes with the scripture, okay? And Egypt was the place to be at one time. And there was people from Europe that did trade with Egypt, even as far as Asia, the Middle East, and so forth, okay? But all these mixed multitude is a representation of Yisrael and what would happen, okay? But even before then, Israel, to some degree, was a mixed multitude. Okay, Revelation says we're not to forget our first love. Beloveds, I see so many people that forget their first love. Part of that is Torah observance. I believe that, sure. But our first love, who led you there? Yeshua. When you read about Yeshua, and you learn to put your trust in him, you know, I mean, anyone, when they asked the Ruach HaKodesh to show them, Yeshua was a Torah observant keeping Jew. Okay? He was a Torah observant keeping Jew. He kept the Torah. And it was baffled me when I was a kid, because I've known both worlds. I've known the Judaism world. I've known the Christianity world. And it baffled me because when I would question pastors, one time I was kicked out of a church. Hallelujah. Baruch Hashem, yeah. Why? Because I said, but these things were kept in the first century. Torah was kept. And Yeshua kept these things. For some of you that know him as Jesus still, Jesus kept these things. Oh man, that's it. Well, I was going to quote this later, but I'll still quote it. And I'll quote it to you now in the book of John, when there's a crowd that comes at Messiah. He says, we are Abraham's children. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the things that Abraham did. And I'm going to give you the scripture where it says Abraham even kept Torah. Okay? And the point of that is that if you are truly going to be like Yeshua, then you would do the things that Yeshua did. He kept the feast. He kept the Sabbath. You know, he kept kasher or kosher, you know, biblical kosher. There's a difference between rabbinical and biblical. He kept biblically kosher for sure, you know, and he did these things. He did that. He walked them out, and then he says, if you love me, ahava, if you ahava me, then you will keep, which means to guard, my commands. But Revelation 2:4 says, it warns one of the kehilah, or the kahals, or the ecclesias in the Greek, and the Hebrew at kahal, okay, the assemblies, that they've left their first love. Beloveds, we should always, you know, I see some people, you know, I'm so fired up, I want to say three things at once. I hear so many people at times, that old expression that says, don't become too heavenly minded, that you're of no earthly good. Well, beloveds, I got to be honest, I see some people that become too Torah-minded that they forget their Yeshua is good, if that makes sense. Yeshua is the doorway that leads you to Torah. I'm not saying don't keep Torah, okay? But again, Scripture tells us that if we are in Yeshua, not only are you Israel, beloved, let's go to what the Word says. Beloveds, not only are you Israel, not only are you a Hebrew, hallelujah, Baruch Hashem, yeah, you should be excited. You should be jumping out your chairs, hallelujah. Why? Because the Scripture says, John 1:12 says, yet to all who did, wait a minute, what? To only the Jews, nope. To only the Gentiles, nope. To only this ethnicity, nope. To anyone, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, Baruch Hashem Yah, he gave the right. He gives you what? The right to become B'nai Elohim, children of God or children of the Lord. You're a child of the Most High. Not only are you an Israelite through Yeshua, your identity in him, but you are called a child. You are one of his children. You're one of his children, beloved. Do you realize how special that is? For the native born, he's regrafted in. For the Gentile, or who knows, maybe if they're of the one of the tribes, you'll find that out later on in the future, they're grafted in. Beloved, 1 John 3:2 says, or you know, Aleph Yochanan 3:2, beloved, now we are children of Yah, or God. We are now children of Yah. A child is dear to their father and to their mother. If you're parents, you know what I'm talking about. Your children are dear to you. And just because some are adopted in, they're no different than the native born. Now, they never replace the native born, but they are expected, and I was going to share this later, but I'll go with it now. They're expected to follow the same rules of the house, if you know where I'm going with this. So it says, beloved, now we are children of Yah, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:26, Galatim 3:26 says, for, here we go, you are all, he didn't say white, black, purple, green, Barney purple, Jew, Gentile only. He says, you are all sons of Yah through your faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. And some of you know him as Jesus the Christ still, okay? Now faith, I'm going to explain a little bit about faith in a few minutes, okay? It's not just belief only. I'm going to share real quick, briefly, the ancient near covenants of adoption. And it's this. Paul understood them. See, when you're reading Paul in Ephesians, Paul was, you know, there's a lot of these people that are anti-Paulists out there. Okay? That's one of the biggest things that's been going on for years. And if there's any listeners that know how to self-publish, contact me. I want to write a book about Paul and settle things once and for all. Okay? But the point is this. Paul understood, not just Torah, not even the takanot, which were the fences that the Pharisees, put on Torah, or the man-made regulations, but Paul was also understood the ancient Near Eastern covenants, okay? He understood the ancient Near Eastern covenants of adoption. Listen carefully, beloveds, because adoption is awesome. When one was adopted into a Semitic family, whether they were an Akkadian, whether they were a Syrian, whether they were a Canaanite or an Israelite, went in their home, okay, whether, you know, however you were adopted, okay, You are now considered a part of that household, and you are subject to the same rules of the house that the native-born belongs to, though you never replace the native-born. Remember that always, because that's where we get replacement theology that teaches nonsense that Israel was replaced. No, it's not, okay? But again, so why do I say that? Because Yeshua is the head of what house? The house of Israel. So if you are adopted into them, now there's a lot of bashing of our Christian brothers and sisters, and we got to be careful with that too. Because many of them are acting in ignorance, and the word ignorant does not mean stupid. Look it up in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It just means not to know any better. We have to remember there are many Christians that place their faith in Yeshua. They may not know him yet as the Hebraic Yeshua, and they are keeping mitzvots of Torah. The only thing that's missing is the Sabbath and the feasts and a few things. And so we really need to be a light unto them as well. Because, you know, hey, I believe they're saved. The minimum, they are saved, okay? And at minimum, they are Hebrews. Why? Because they have crossed over into the truth. The word Hebrew means to cross over. If you're in Messiah, then minimum, they are Hebrew. Why? Well, I'm going to get to the definition of Gentile in a minute, okay? But I'm going to give a brief explanation about the adoption in the ancient Near East. The adoption contracts were diverse, okay? And basically the adoptee was to honor the parents by way of providing them with food, clothing, and oil. Okay. So there are tablets that have been found that share what, you know, they give a Latin name to this, but Verba Solemnia, which is the solemn declaration, which was publicly identifying the child with the adopter. And that's this. It would read things like this: by the adoptee with the words, "You are my father and you are my mother." By the adopter with the words, "You are my son." So again, there it's written. Well, if I adopt a Smith, they're always going to be a Smith by birth. But by adoption, they're now a Gomez. They're under my house. They have to follow my rules of the house and so forth, and the instructions given to them. But they are no different. They are no different than the native-born Gomez's, okay? So the adoption tablets, if the person didn't live according to the rules, then they were allowed to say by the adoptee was, "You're not my father anymore, you're not my mother, and by the adopter, you're not my son." Can we find this in the Tanakh? Sure. Briefly, real quick, is Exodus 2:10. Adoption has always been available to even the non-bloodline Israelites. Okay, let's go to real quick. Exodus 2:10 says Moshe, or Moses, was adopted by who? Pharaoh's daughter. He was adopted, receiving all the rights, privileges, and duties of a biological son, being educated as a prince. 1 Kings 11:20, Genubath was brought up by the queen and was said to be among the sons of Pharaoh. Esther, hello. We just had our sister Yvonne earlier, Esther, who now prefers to go by Esther. Esther 2:17 and 15, 2:7 and 15, Esther was adopted by her uncle Mordecai after her parents had died. And again, there's things that hint at adoption. Genesis 6:2, where Sarai, who becomes Sarah, gives her husband her female slave. Okay, now, you know, so that it might be that I shall obtain children by her. That's just a hint. That goes deeper. I'm not going to get into that today. Okay, so again, we as children of our Elohim are adopted. And even the native born are still, in a sense, adopted as children of Yah, B'nai Elohim. Okay? B'nai Elohim, which goes deeper than anything. Okay? Along with the above verses, okay, that I just mentioned, there are references to Israel having been brought into God's family or Yah's family. Scripture is referred to as the sons of Yah in Hosea 11:1 by election and adoption, Deuteronomy 14:2. So again, how do we find these verba solmina, or as I said earlier, what is that? Well, that is, again, the solemn declarations. We find this here in Exodus 6:7, where the Father says, I will take you for my people, and I will be your Elohim, and I will be your God or your Elohim, and you will be my people, Leviticus 26:12, Jeremiah 7:23. And you will be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 11:4, 30:22, Ezekiel 36:28. We even read about in Hosea how this is a passage. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but this is where some preachers mistakenly say, oh, that's it. Our Heavenly Father did away with Israel. No, it was talking about the Northern Kingdom. But when you understand the Hebrew, when it talks about the Valley of Yisrael, and you talk about and the daughters and the son, you know, Lo Ruhama, right? Ami, Lo Ami, Lo Ruhama, the children's names that Hosea is given. There's a message there, and I've taught on that too. It ties back into the Brit Hadashah and the Renewed Covenant or the New Testament. Paul mentions these, okay? But it gives you the message that, yes, Israel, the Northern Kingdom, would become fullness of the Gentiles. And, hey, even some of Judah, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, were taken by ship by the Romans. So some of them even became mixed. So in reality, let's be honest, you have two houses in both groups. You have tribes in Judah that may not be Judah, but they take on Judaism. And you have in Christianity, there are members of the tribes. There are some Judites. There's people that I meet that they find out my great-grandmother was Jewish, or my grandfather was Jewish, or my mom was Jewish. So you have both tribes in both houses, both in Judaism and Christianity, if you study where the tribes were taken to and what happened. But again, let's go on. Ephesians 2, Paul understood this. Paul is not only quoting Torah here, or Tanakh, but he is also quoting his understanding of the ancient Near Eastern covenant of adoption, where he says in Ephesians 2:11-12, therefore remember your former state. Wait a minute, what? I'm going to read from the complete Jewish there for a minute. Remember your former state. Former means once was. You're no longer. Hallelujah. Your former state, you Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who merely because of an operation on their flesh are called the circumcised, at that time had no Messiah. You were estranged from the national life of Israel. I love how Stern puts that, because this is speaking of two people. And first, it's speaking of Ephraim, and also includes people that were not of the bloodline as well. You were foreigners to the covenants embodying Yah's promise. You were in this world without hope and without Yah. But now you who are once far off, you're not far off anymore, especially if you've come to Torah through Yeshua, but have been brought near through the shedding of whose blood? Yeshua's blood or Messiah's blood. For he himself is our shalom. He has made us both one. We are echad, guys. We are one. And has broken down the mechitza, which is the wall of partition that divides us, by destroying in his own body the enmity occasioned by the Torah with commandments set forth in the form of ordinances. Let me just make a real quick mention, because people will use that to say, oh, well, see, your identity in Messiah, you don't have to keep Torah. That's wrong. That actual verse there, the Greek word is dogma, and it is Levitical, man-made public decrees. In other words, they were the man-made rules. And I encourage you to look this up if you have a concordance or a lexicon. The Hebrew word is the takanot, which are the fences and the man-made rules that were put. He's not saying he did away with the Torah. You find a similar passage in Colossians as well. So our identity of Messiah doesn't mean we don't keep Torah. Of course we do. Those of us that understand that know that. But I see too many people on the other end, they get too much into Torah, which is fine. I love it. But you have to remember, who is the root? Who brought you there? Yeshua's example. And yes, the Ruach HaKodesh plays a part, of the Holy Spirit or set apart spirit plays a part in there too. Absolutely. Okay. But Yeshua is our foundation. You know, I have the saying, you know, Moses is our foundation, Yeshua is our salvation. Okay? So again, Ephesians 2:11-12 talks about this. Okay? So let me share with this, the woman, this lovely sister at the conference. I met her, and she comes up to me, and she actually listens to the show. Oh, hallelujah. At least somebody listens to the show Monday nights that I do now. Hallelujah. I know there's a lot of misguided. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Anyways, this sweet sister comes up to me, and she's in tears and says to me, oh, brother, if I could just prove that I'm either a Jew or I'm an Israelite. And I said, listen, sister, you are an Israelite. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I'm going to ask you a question. And beloveds, if you take anything from this teaching, I ask you to listen carefully. I ask you to listen carefully right now, because if you take anything from this teaching that I've done today, I know that crazy Rabbi Emmanuel, but if I'm telling you what, if you take anything, I need you to listen to this, please. I ask you, please. And it's this. I asked her, what tribe was Noah from? She's kind of like, And what tribe was Abraham from? Now you got some people using semantics. Well, Abraham was technically a Jew because he was a praiser. Oy vey. Okay, yeah, we're talking about literal here, okay? But what tribe, you need to ask yourself, beloveds, I don't know if there's one of you out there listening to this that has struggled with this. If you have struggled with this and you are listening, beloveds, let me encourage you with all my heart. You know, I know some people, you know, in our walk, we get the know-it-alls. Oh, I already knew that. But you know what? There's someone that doesn't know it. Hallelujah. And if it's just one person that is blessed by this, hallelujah, one person that is blessed by what I've just shared here, then it was all worth it. But I'm telling you what, you need to ask yourself. If you ever have that doubt, ask yourself, what tribe was Noah from? What tribe was Abraham from? We know that Abraham was a Chaldee of Ur. There was no tribes yet. You see what I'm saying? Technically, there was no 12 tribes yet. You were either a God-fearer, a Yah-fearer, or you weren't. As it was in the beginning, man, so it shall be in the end. Okay, so you're either a God-fearer, a Yah-fearer, or you're not. You either belong to the seed of Yah, hallelujah, if you've been born again, regenerated, you know, in Yeshua. Not only that, but now you're keeping Torah, then hallelujah, guess what? You are also a Yah-fearer. In the end, you know, doesn't mean, just because you're of the bloodline doesn't guarantee you getting in entrance. I'm going to be honest. If people put their faith in the bloodline, like some of these cult groups do, you're in big trouble. Now, will there be people of the bloodline? Yes, of course there will be. But again, Noah, what tribe was he from? There was no tribes. He was a God-fearer. So remember this. I told her, again, a Hebrew means what? One who crosses over. So if you are a Yah-fearer, there's only two ways you can end in this world. Either you belong to the seed of Yahweh or God, or you know, through Yeshua, or you don't belong to him. You belong to Hasatan's seed. It's just that simple. It's not complex. So I said to her, sister, be at peace. Yes, through Yeshua, you're a Hebrew, you're an Israelite. But remember, it boils down to, again, in the end, not just that, but are you of the seed of Yah? Do you belong to him? Or do you belong to the seed of Satan? Okay? So again, you know, I love when these people are, they're a messianic Gentile. You can't be a messianic Gentile. For Pete's sake, Gentile means heathen. If you're, you know, that's why I said our Christian brothers, many of them, you know, are saved. I believe many are saved. And at minimum, they're Hebrews. Why? Because they've crossed over into the truth. They put their faith in Yeshua. Yes, the next step is Torah. I got that. But if you're in Messiah, you're not a heathen. You may have not been an Israelite by bloodline. You may have not. And a Gentile also is one who is out of covenant. So, hallelujah, if you have put your identity in Yeshua first, remember, he is the root. He is the Torah made flesh. Okay? He is a living Torah. The living Torah. He was there before the foundations of the earth. So if you put your identity, your faith, and your trust in him, okay, minimum you are is a Hebrew. You have crossed over into the truth. You're not a Gentile because you're not a heathen. Now, you should live as an Israelite because, again, Yeshua is the head of the house of Israel, okay? And so if you are in under his house, then you're expected to follow his rules, which is Torah. We've got that. But again, beloved, stop calling yourself a Gentile. If you're new to this walk and you've only been to Torah, Yah bless you, Baruch Hashem Yah, may he bless you, brachot to you. And stop calling yourself a Gentile. You're not a heathen anymore. And now you're adopted into Israel. You're not out of covenant anymore. So if you're not out of covenant, stop calling yourself a Gentile. That's ridiculous. And I know people have argued this point with me, but you know what? The scripture is clear. There just comes a point where Yeshua says, you know what? Don't cast your pearls under the swine. In Yeshua, we are to live and conduct our lives as Israelites. Again, why? Because he is the head of the house of Israel. And this is where Torah does come into play for the believer. Now, again, in the beginning, there was no tribes yet. And here, Bereshit, Genesis 6:9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with Yah, or with God. Okay, there was no tribes yet. So either you belong to him, which Noah obviously belonged to our Heavenly Father. He was righteous and blameless. And by the way, I've done a teaching on this. There's a difference between being sinless and blameless. One can be blameless, but the only one that was sinless was Yeshua, okay? Another one, Nehemiah 9:7 or Nehemiah, you are Yah, our Elohim, who chose Abram, not Abraham yet, but Abram, and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name. See, there was no Israelites yet, but gave him the name Abraham. Abram, by the way, Abram means high or exalted father. But when his name was changed to Abraham, through the promise, he became the father of a multitude or father of many. So in the end, yes, I know all that we're Israel and all that, but you need to ask yourself, beloveds, do you belong to Yah or don't you? Okay? You're not a Gentile. So stop calling yourself that because you're not. At minimum, again, you're either belong to him or you don't. Both to the bloodline and to the grafted in. Genesis 11:31, Bereshit says, Terah took Abraham his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife. And they went off together. They went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was a Chaldean from Ur, but he was a Yafir, in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. Hebrew means to cross over. Yes, and as people say, well, Eber means Hebrew, and they were actually a people. Yes, eventually they became a people. That's true. But people have to understand, if you're going to go and study Hebrew, then you better also get into what the meanings of names are, because the names reveal many things in Scripture. And whether you are of the bloodline or not, the Father already made a promise that I will through you many nations will be blessed. Okay? So again, you know, we look back to Abraham as our example, okay? And another one is, you know, people will say, I call myself an Israelite. Great. That's great. You can call yourself an Israelite. Technically, you can. Israel means one who wrestles with Yah and overcomes. So if you wrestle with the Father and are an overcomer in him, then yeah, you're an Israelite, okay? And wrestling does not mean a negative. I see people teach that it's a negative. You're an Israelite then. If you wrestle with our Heavenly Father and you overcome, you're an overcomer in him. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you come from. You are my brother and sister in Yeshua. And especially now that you're keeping Torah and your eyes are open, hallelujah. The word abach in Hebrew means to wrestle. Let me show you too to debunk some of these hate groups out there. There's hate groups that say, well, only our skin color is Israel, or like the Hebrew Israelites, or you know, our bloodline is only. Really? Let's see what, go to Isaiah 5:8. Because this is something that has been happening, hallelujah, and this is something that will keep on happening until the end. Isaiah 5:8, Yeshayahu says, Yahweh Elohim says, he who gathers Israel's exiles. Okay, Israel's exiles, we know who that is. And Judah's included in that too, believe it or not. But it says in Isaiah 5:8, there are yet others. There are yet others. Uh-oh. That means those of the non-bloodline. I will gather besides those gathered already. Where have you heard this before? Yeshua quoted Isaiah 5:8. Did you know that? Let me repeat it again. Yahweh Elohim says, he who gathers Israel's exiles, or they're in the Galut, okay? There are yet others I will gather besides those gathered already. That's Isaiah, Yeshayahu 5:8. You find this in the New Testament. In the New Testament, okay, hallelujah, you find this in John chapter 10, verse 16. He says, I have other sheep. Listen carefully. Most people gloss over this when they read this. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Remember, he said, I came for the house of Israel. And yes, that does include Jews, because there were many Jews that became Hellenistic. Do your history. There were many Hellenistic Jews that had to be brought back to Torah. And that's why they said to Yeshua, where does this man intend to go? Does he intend to go to where we live and teach the Greeks? Well, many of them, they had to go out there as missionaries at one time because they had fallen into Hellenism. But he says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. So let's include all 12 tribes. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock. So the two houses will become one, and one shepherd. Yeshua is that shepherd. John 10:16. He's quoting you Isaiah, Yeshayahu 5:8. Let's go on real quick. I know my time's limited, so I only got a few more, I promise, and I'm done. Just remember that Ezekiel 47:21-23, I also share this with people that get into the identity crisis. Ezekiel 47:21-23 says this, okay? And I want you to take note of this, okay? Ezekiel 47:21-23 says, so you shall divide this land among you according to the tribes of Israel. You shall allot it as an inheritance for yourselves and the sojourners who reside among you and have children among you. Here we go. Ready, guys? They shall be to you as native born children of Israel. With you, they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. In whatever tribe the sojourner resides, there you shall assign him his inheritance, declares Yahweh. So, guys, even if, let's say, you're not of the bloodline, this is something that happened at times in Israel. It is something that will happen in the end. Let's say you weren't of the bloodline. Hey, the sojourner gets to choose which tribe he wants to live with. He is to be treated as a native member of that tribe or as of Israel. Hallelujah. Okay. And so again, you know, you get, in some ways, those people get the best end of the deal. Because let's say you find out you're of the tribe of Reuben. Well, guess what? You know what? Then you're stuck being Reuben. Okay. Sorry. And I'm going to say this to you, beloveds. There is no gate for the Gentile. When you read Revelation, there is no gate for the Gentile whatsoever. Okay? Why? Because you've been grafted in. Now, let's go back, though. Where do you have to go back to the root? The root is Yeshua. If your identity is in Yeshua. So if you're grafted into Yeshua, hallelujah, you are grafted into Israel through him. And you will enter through one of those gates. Or you should. Because there is no gate for the Gentile. Okay? Just remember this. And I know I've got to close here within... Let's see, how much time do I have left? Okay, I'm just going to say this and I'm done. Just remember one thing. When you start getting a little too Torah-minded for any Yeshua good, remember this, okay? When you were in a ditch, and I speak... I'm preaching to the choir. When you were in a ditch, down in a gutter, it was Yeshua that saved you. When you were abandoned or orphaned, Yeshua saved you. When you were an alcoholic, Yeshua saved you because you chose him. When you were a sinner and in ignorance, Yeshua saved you. Remember where your identity falls in. Galatians 3:18. It says this real quick. For if the inheritance depends on the Torah, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through the promise. And it says in Genesis that Abraham kept his commands. So I submit to you this. Do you wrestle with Yah? Great. Then, you know, do you put your faith in Yeshua? Yes. Is he the one that you associate with? Yes. So my last verse is this. My last two verses is this. Is if you are an Abraham, if you are Abraham's seed, you are heirs. Zerah, the seed, literally the seed in Hebrew, okay? And heirs according to the promise. People are bickering over nonsense these days in this walk. It's ridiculous. Let's come back to reality. Let's go to back to planet Earth, you know, third rock from the sun, okay? And just remember this. Be encouraged that either you're a Yafir or you're not. It's just that simple. And if you are, then your identity is in Yeshua, and it should be in Yeshua. My last verse is this, and I'm done. I will promise to keep my end of this. Is Revelation 12:17, the dragon was wroth with the woman. Is Israel went off to fight with the rest of her offspring. Israel, native born and grafted in. Those who obey Yah's commands, so you have to obey the commands, the mitzvot, and you have to bear witness to Yeshua. You have to put your faith in Yeshua. Emunah in Hebrew doesn't mean just believing. It means acting upon that belief. Abraham believed, but he acted upon that belief. Okay? And so again, it tells you the same thing in Revelation 14:12 that, you know, that the Kodesh ones are the ones that keep the commands and they put their faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay? So again, my closing statement is this, is that, you know, again, you know, faith without works, we know that and whatnot. But again, if you are if you are Abraham's seed, Zerah, you are heirs according to the promise. That promise was Yeshua HaMashiach. That's not the only answer for that. But be at peace, beloveds. My last statement. Be at peace. Listen to me. I love you when I'm saying this. I really do. Be at peace, beloved listeners. Hallelujah. Your identity crisis has been solved in Yeshua's name. Break that out of you in Yeshua's name. Shalom uvracha gam lacha et ve'ahava uahuvim. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. I think he reached the back row of the church there.
Wait, let me say it like this. Hallelujah. Does that work for you?
Hallelujah.
That was awesome.
Very good. Excellent.
Wow.
Well said.
Once he gets over this timidness, he will be really
He'll
super.
Be great. Yeah. He will be great. Yeah. We'll work on that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, praise Yah. He gets the glory.
Amen.
It was enjoyable. Thank you, Emmanuel.
And that was definitely a heart cry for me, though. I always get a little queasy when people say, you know, I'm a Gentile believer. I'm like, oh, no, don't say that.
Yeah. No, really. Yeah. I'm not a pagan. Mean.
Really?
But there is one question that I have for you. I thought there was that the gates were going to be titled the gate of Kenneth Copeland, the gate of John Osteen, the gate of Jimmy Swagger. What's that?
You forgot one. John, what's this that? Is John Hagee.
Yeah, the gate of John Hagee. Those aren't the ones?
No, they're not, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, then I got a whole new thing to learn here, I guess, you know.
So, there's a gate for them, but that's not it.
There's a gate, but yeah, I got you. I'm with you on that. Thank you, brother. You never cease to amaze. That's all there is to it. You know, I will confess, I had to step away, so I didn't get to hear all of it, but I got to hear bits and pieces. I know I will, but it's, you know, I mean, it's always good with the rabbi.
Mark will relive this entire conference as he goes through the audio files and edits them.
That's a fact.
Brother Mark, can I just say real quick, thank you for the opportunity again. And listeners, you want to tune in and listen to Mark's teaching. I talked to him on the phone. I'm not going to say what it is, but you're in for a real treat listening to his teaching tonight. I'm going to be tuned in for that.
Well, I appreciate that. I think they've already heard several different snippets from it all day, today, yesterday.
There's a clue. I got a clue. Yeah.
What is that clue, really? What's that clue? Yeah.
That clue is gathering and scattering.
No, gathering, not scattering.
Not that's scattering. Right. Excuse me. That's correct.
That's right.
I just wanted to see if you were listening.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You got it. No, that's what it is. No, we're good. We're all kind of, it's amazing how everybody's just kind of touching on the edge of that or preaching my sermon. And I love it because, as I've been saying all day, you guys are like my pre-teaching for tonight. So, on top of that, it's amazing how the Lord puts all this together because we had to reschedule. Ed Harris was not able to make it, and it's somewhat of a devastation that he couldn't be here. But John and Sandy Craig has filled in for him tonight at 7 p.m. And honestly, I get to spend an hour with them every morning out at Sukkot this last year doing morning prayers out there with them. And I have met few people on this planet that knows the insides and outsides of prayer, praise, and proclamation like John and Sandy Craig do. And so when I found out that Ed wasn't going to be here, I didn't even hesitate. There was no hesitation whatsoever at all. I got a hold of him, and John says, yeah, I'm not even going to ask Sandy. We'll do it. And so you want to talk about another amazing teaching that you're going to hear tonight. We are winding really, really close here.